You are listening to episode number 131 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. Sorry that the show was not able to be there last week. It was Martin Luther King Day. You know, support Black freedom.
Yeah, lazy Black people, rise up,
freedom.
So let's get right into it. I have President Clinton here to deliver some bad news.
He made it.
Hey, everybody. Mr. I can't do it. See, you know, I can't do it. It's just too serious. I want it to be jokey, but here's the reality, people. Last Wednesday, I went visited a doctor, and I got some news. No, I'm not dying. Not dying. Trust me. Y'all would first to know if I was terminal or something. But I got some news that I personally did not want to hear, and things just sort of started to snowball. And I just sort of started re-looking at things and looking at things differently, and which led me to the decision to retire from podcasting altogether. So what does that mean? Basically, that means I will no longer be the official host of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
No!
Could we convince you to at least just take leave of absence?
True.
I've already talked to Kuhan, who I do the other show with, and Mr. Dragon, who I do the other show with, and I said I don't want to do this anymore. Not because of anybody I work with, just because of just where my state of mind is right now.
That's why I asked that. It may change.
No. Trust me, I've had several people try to change their mind over the past several days. And here's the deal. This show's not going away. As much as it kind of sucks that, you know, and I appreciate the Spider Lantern and Gamma, y'all's reactions were like, wow, really?
I love us.
But I'm happy also to announce that with my absence leads the rise of another. Arnold will now be assuming hosting duties from me. I'm sure he'll do a great job. As long as, you know, he supplies tasers for porn and keeps reminds Brian on a daily basis that he's the news bitch boy, everything I'm sure will be as if I'm never gone.
Now, he's the new boss, same as the old boss.
Arnold's the HNIC. Oh my God.
Yay.
And does this mean, like, say, months from down the road that I come back? Maybe. But as of right now, it doesn't seem likely.
There'll always be a spot here for you, man.
It better be.
Don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years.
So it sucks, but this is just the reality of what it is. Just, you know, life is just getting in the way, and it's not a temporary thing. I'm not going to be gone for a month. I'm going to be gone for a while, and I don't know if I will come. If I will come back, it'll be a while. It'll be a long time. So,
are you leaving the board?
No.
Yay!
I'm not. I don't. I'm not going to post as frequent as I used to, but I'm not going to say I'm gone from the board. You'll still be able to see me.
Thank God.
But I won't be as frequent. So,
as long as I can continue to make fun of you on paper, on screen,
hey, you know, hey, I have a Squirtle Sigan avatar. That's funny enough. All right. Well, I'm sorry that had to get out of the way. So let's go ahead and get right into it as I resume the captain's chair for one last time. Mr. Brian Powers, fellow news anchor. I don't know. You're not even a news anchor. Why am I calling you that?
I'm a news bitch.
Yes. lead us off. This is going to be a long show. So lead us off with the first bit of news.
Alright, let's start, I guess, in the animated realm of things. Why don't we start there? Because you're excited about that. I know you are, Ben. News has recently surfaced that in the world of Marvel animation, Black Widow and the Punisher will be getting their own, little animated series. Not much else has been given to us at this time, but we do know that these characters would in fact be in the starring roles. And, as far as the timetable goes, we're not really sure on that either, but this could prove to be some mature content for a cartoon, given the main characters. So we'll see what becomes of that, but I guess we should just discuss our thoughts on it.
Stun lasers. I'm saying it now. Stun lasers.
Stun lasers?
Stun lasers. Or like rubber bullets.
I can't remember the last time. When was the last time we had a feature-length Marvel animated film, like direct-to-DVD? When was the last one?
Was it Doctor Strange? It couldn't have been Doctor
Strange. No, it wasn't Doctor Strange. It wasn't.
Was it Next Avengers?
It wasn't Next Avengers. I think it might have been Next Avengers.
Yeah, no.
Wasn't it the, they split it between, Hulk
versus?
Planet Hulk. It was Planet Hulk.
Oh, but then what about the Thor?
The Thor one.
Oh, yeah, that was it. Yeah. It's been a while since we got any news.
But yeah, it's been ages since we've had a Marvel animated film.
Well, it's because DC, in their plight of trying to make a decent movie, have coincidentally conquered the animated realm.
At least in the direct-to-DVD movies.
Yeah, yeah.
But hey, awesome. I'm totally down for it. I think Punisher is a character that probably that could benefit a lot from animation, because you can get away with a little bit more in animation, I guess. And it's, you know, you put Punisher in something, you're definitely right out the gate. You know, you're not targeting a younger audience, first and foremost. So that kind of nips the whole, oh, they only make stuff for kids kind of idea. I think this is going to be good. I'm kind of okay with Punisher. I don't dislike him. He's not one of my particular favorites. I don't read any of his books, but I like what I've seen of the character. And Black Widow kicks all sorts of ass, so I'm totally down to see this.
I don't get them. You know, these two together...
I'm sorry to interrupt. They said new thing. It's it'll follow the release of Iron Man Rise of Technoboard.
Yeah, that's another one that's coming out. I forgot about that one. So
maybe they're starting to ratchet up with the popularity of all
the movies. I just think they don't have as many... Because I think Warner Brothers is a much bigger team, and which is how they can crank out like two or three a year.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Marvel is... The people who work at Marvel Animation is not nearly as big, so that's why we don't get them a lot.
Yeah, well, they're part of Warner Brothers, and Warner Brothers has always had its fingers in
animation.
Well,
that's what I mean, but Marvel doesn't really have that.
Well, now that they're part of Disney, fair enough. Might change in that.
So,
I still don't see it. I'm trying to picture these two together, and...
Are we sure they're going to be together, or they're just going to be separate?
I don't think that's been touched upon, but I could see something akin to like what Mark Miller did with the Avengers in the Ultimate Universe, where Punisher kind of gets shanghaied into serving S.H.I.E.L.D. against his will.
I don't think so. Why?
Unless it's one going after the other.
Yeah.
Like what we saw in Warzone?
Yeah, there's that, you
Black
know?
Widow have to
hunt that, down. That could always be the case, but it could totally be a Black Widow working for S.H.I.E.L.D., Punisher did something fucked up and he's going after her, or...
Gets Scarlett Johansson to hire
Punisher
and
go after Black Widow for whatever
Tom's
reason. Tom's
Jane to voice... Punisher, and you gotta go.
Yeah, that'd be a sweet deal.
Comic Jansen should do a Black Widow, because she's got good intention.
I know it's a pipe dream, but I would really like to see, as our board co-member W. West pointed out, I would like to see this on maybe Adult Swim or FX, maybe a bit of a harder cartoon in the vein of something like Archer, you know? But less comedy, more hardcore, but I know that's false hope. That's never gonna happen.
Yeah, we'll probably get stunt lasers. It won't last long, but it could happen.
I wouldn't be surprised if they try to give him the anime treatment, too.
Who, Punisher?
Yeah.
That'll be weird. They did it with Iron Man, the Punisher.
Green and the X-Men.
It wouldn't be Punisher, though. Punisher, I guess I'm the only one here who's like a legit Punisher fan.
Yeah.
And the thing is about what I'm worried about it is that if they're going to do a movie, a cartoon movie about him and Black Widow, that I want them to go, because both these characters have deep, fucked up pasts in more ways than most characters do.
Right.
So, like, I want them, while not 100% to delve into that development, but, like, have them deal with awful shit. Show them that there is a darker side to the Marvel Universe, you know, that there's still regular stuff happening. you know, and show why Punisher does what he does, you know. The thing I'm scared about this is that they're just going to make him the guy who just has the biggest gun in the room. They're going to try to make him Cable, you know, which I'm like, that's not the Punisher, you know. The guy's not an idiot. Neither's Cable, but, you know, I'm fearing that they're just going to make him the big gun guy, which he shouldn't be. Black Widow's cool. It's always nice to have a spy that's not Nick Fury sometimes.
So, yeah, that happened.
So that.
Moving right along.
Yes, indeed. I guess on to the next piece of news we have for us today, coming out of Guardians of the Galaxy, the movie. this is making me sweat a little bit. Recent casting news has risen off of out of Marvel, and basically saying that in order to build upon this Guardians of the Galaxy, they are pursuing big comedy actors. And some names that were thrown around were, believe it or not, Adam Sandler and Jim Carrey. God, this really makes me wonder what the hell they're planning to do with this film. Either that, or they just have no idea, and they're just gonna go and say, you know, fuck it, and throw caution to the wind, but I really hope they don't, because this is probably the only chance the Guardians will get to make an impression in the Marvel Cinematic, and you're bringing in the likes of Adam Sandler and Jim Carrey to do what? To voice Groot and Rocket Raccoon? Is that what I'm picking up here? Because, you know, Jim Carrey, he's great with the psychotic outburst, maybe Groot at a stretch, but he only has one line of dialogue, and then Rocket Raccoon? I never really pictured him as sounding like one of Sandler's caricatures.
What do you think he's going to be, a Sandler caricature?
I don't know.
It's either
Sandler
doing the voice or it's Sandler doing a caricature. And I think there's a good chance it's going to be Sandler. It'll be Sandler's voice and he'll be doing caricatures every now and again, all likelihood, which is horrible. Absolutely horrible.
I really don't know what to do with this information.
It could have been Ben Stiller.
Duh!
I'm just saying, it could have been 10 times worse. Then I would not have seen Guardians of the Galaxy on principle.
Could have been Steve Buscemi.
No, Steve Buscemi I could actually work, because the dude's actually a good actor.
But you could see him doing which one? Groot?
No, I could see him. I could see him do not Groot, certainly, but I could
doing
see him,
Rocket Raccoon. Really?
Yeah, I could. I could see him. I could see Buscemi and his range of talented acting abilities doing Groot over. Doing Rocket Raccoon over Adam Sandler and Jim Carrey. And I like both of those actors. And I've seen movies where they're not normally the yucksters. You know, they're fine. They're not bad, but you know. Again, it could be worse. Ben Stiller could be involved. And that guy's just awful. You know, they could have cast Jonah Hill for Groot.
Oh, okay, my God.
Throw up. I just finished eating.
I'm a little dizzy right now. The world. They're both talented. I'm sure, given what we've seen with the Marvel Cinematic Universe over the course of these past 5-6 years, they know what they're doing with the source material. And as of right now, I don't believe these names are confirmed, correct?
No, they're only being pursued by the studio. We don't even have confirmation of talks happening yet. Yeah. So.
No, if anything, I still don't think that's going to happen. You know, and if it does, I'm sure Marvel's going to be like, look, and we know Marvel likes to play hardball with, like, look, you have to do this. I mean, they chased Edward Norton out of town.
Yeah, but Ed Norton isn't the quality and level of actor as Sandler and
in terms of aware, in terms of star power, or in terms of acting ability.
In terms of star power. Which actually carries more weight nowadays than acting ability.
In terms of the audience, you're right, but in terms of people who work in Hollywood, Ed Norton has more power than Sandler.
Really?
That didn't help him much when Avengers came around.
It was because he didn't agree with them. That's why.
Yeah, and he didn't get work. But what? Okay, after Hulk, what else did he do?
I know he did something.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that was about
3-4 years
ago.
He did that Jason Bourne movie with Jeremy Renner.
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't see that, so I can't comment.
Also in an indie flick called Moonrise Kingdom.
So
indie flicks suck. Now let me stop. But I'm just saying this though.
And I'm saying call your fears because it's not confirmed and there's nothing wrong with looking at all possibilities. This is probably what they're doing.
Yes, there is. Can you imagine if they'd have gotten, Christopher Lloyd?
That would have been as Rocket Raccoon?
No, as Groot. Remember, there's two characters.
The thing with, there's an example of a role where the actor just said one thing, and it was a famous actor, but I can't remember what it was.
Danger Will Robinson. Danger.
No, not that. No, I can't remember what it was, but you know, Groot's an entirely different story. I won't argue with you about Groot, but Rocket Raccoon is entirely different. I don't give a shit about the character, so I don't care how he sounds. You know, whenever I see him, I just see him as a little pissed off guy because he's small.
Don't listen to him, Taser.
And so if they can find an actor who can channel that through the CGI that they're going to come up with, that's fine.
Actually, you know who could play him?
It'll be Andy Serkis.
No.
God.
Gilbert Gottfried.
Oh, God.
No. In Seinfeld, remember Kramer had that little midget friend?
Yes.
Danny DeVito.
That guy could do.
You know what?
Rocket.
No, screw that. Danny DeVito for Rocket Raccoon.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. When you think about it, like the hard, like a deep, hard hitting voice, something that's kind of sounds a little bit.
That's the thing.
If they're gonna go,
he's vet to me.
Well,
you know,
if you're gonna go for a comedy, but you want a guy who can deliver a serious tone, well, why not Danny DeVito? I mean, the guy can deliver.
I say just fucking Ray Stevens and make him the Punisher in space.
The guy.
No, but I wouldn't do comedy. But I think Danny DeVito's voice, just his voice.
They could always I'll say this. They could always change things because John Rhys Davies' voice, Treebeard, and if you look at it, you can hear it, but it's not the same. So they could always do something post production to make him sound a little bit different. I'm not saying they will, but it's possible.
Yeah, but that holds true for just about anybody, you know? I mean, and literally
no,
just
but,
about
but, d- well, I guarantee you Treebeard doesn't sound the same if it's not voiced by John Rhys Davies, even with all that augmentation.
John Rhys Davies.
Are we talking about that guy from South America with the things all over his body?
What?
They should get fucking Hagrid to voice this guy.
Who?
Robbie Coltrane? I think he voiced, what'd you call it? He voiced Mr. Hyde in Van Helsing.
I know who you're talking about.
Okay.
That'd be the best voice to get out of the guy.
Enjoyed it enough to remember people from it. It's terrible.
Just get, you know what, just so we're all, just cast Steve Blum and go with there.
Right.
No, you know
yeah,
what?
Yeah, but it's also a good choice.
Maurice LaMarche. There you go.
Mm.
I'd like to see him.
Phil LaMarche for Groot.
I mean, I know I'm going to sound like an idiot, but who the hell is Maurice LaMarche?
You've never seen Captain Simian and the Space Monkeys?
No.
Ah,
I grew up this century.
Okay. I think he did Ultra Humanite in Justice League 2.
Yeah.
Oh, that guy, yeah. See, everybody says that about Raccoon is the fact that he's I see him as a pissed off little weasel.
Like Conker? That's what I think of. That's like what I see. Every time I see Rocket Raccoon, it makes me think of Conker. And that's what I imagine Rocket. I've never read a single Guardians of the Galaxy anything. I have no knowledge other than that one episode of Guardians of the Galaxy on Avengers Earth Mightiest Heroes. But every time I see Rocket Raccoon, I immediately think Conker.
Yeah. That's a sound assessment, so.
You should get Peter Dinklage to voice the guy. What's his name? Who's he?
All I'm saying is that it could be worse. Ben Stiller.
Yeah, they could get me to do it.
That'd be pretty dope. I'd watch it.
Nah, I have no vocal range. I'd really fuck it up. I'd make myself hate it.
fair enough.
Any more on this y'all want to talk about?
I don't think at the moment, although we do have to touch upon something else pertaining to Marvel Cosmic in a second, so you just want to segue into that?
The crossover?
Yeah.
No, we're skipping that.
Oh, okay.
So next up is what?
I believe news on phase 3 of Marvel. Or was it phase 2 or phase 3?
Phase 3.
Phase 3.
Updates on phase 2, what phase 3 is going to be.
Okay.
Make space, people. We need the room.
Okay. Phase 3 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe is confirmed by Kevin Feige that Ant-Man is the official start, and it will include Doctor Strange,
woo!
Iron Man 3, or not Iron Man 3, that'll be in Phase 2, my apologies. But yeah, Ant-Man and Doctor Strange, it would appear, be two headliners for Marvel Phase 3 coming up. And this will be post-Avengers 2 and post-Thanos if they go that route.
So yeah, for that flood of jizz, that's Iron Green going, Doctor Strange movie, whee!
I'll believe it when I'll see it.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, how many times have we heard about Doctor Strange?
We've heard about it for years. We've heard about Ant-Man for years, and only until recently. Until they show up with San Diego with something, then I'll say, okay, it's cool. He's my favorite, second favorite Marvel Universe character. He comes from, you know, a vast richness of world that for some reason the comics world and the movie universe and the movie world outside of Harry Potter doesn't want to touch. I don't want a faithful adaptation of Doctor Strange. I think I've said that before. I just want a movie true to the character. You can change the costume, but, you know.
What if they do Teen Strange?
If they, like, he's a teenager?
Yeah, because didn't he de-age himself at one point?
I don't remember.
Why would you Tony even want did that bad?
Tony I'm Stark just saying. Did. Tony Stark did. I don't think they're going to do that in the movies.
Something happened with Strange where I think he went younger for a little. I could be wrong.
A lot of weird shit. He found the cure
you
for
cancer.
You
probably are wrong, Taser.
Yeah, fair enough. You know,
he found,
I get
he found the cure for cancer.
Anyway, in light of these films, like I said, we want to be looking forward to these until after 2015
actually,
and after Avengers 2.
What I wonder is if he's going to actually be the Sorcerer Supreme, or is the movie going to be about him becoming the Sorcerer Supreme?
It's going to be an origin story. You have to do an origin story.
Yeah, there's always the origin story. There's no doubt about that.
I mean,
that'll provide some pretty epic scenes. I mean, picture Strange like
so
ascending the Himalayas to train under
the ancient one.
And
that means
just
Baron Mordo and the other people who are in there. If you want to,
Dormammu.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't show Dormammu. I wouldn't show him.
You don't have to show him, but
I wouldn't even hint.
He could have
him.
His presence because of Mordo.
I would have it like in the background, but the focus should be on Baron Mordo.
That's fair.
Even still, Dormammu could be like the next, you know, world-threatening thing.
He would be 3. If you're going to be honest about it, he should be 3, along with an appearance by Eternity. Where I would do that.
They're not going to do Eternity. That shit's way too, like,
or,
whoa.
You know, with Ant-Man, if this
that's
pans out
Starlin
being
right
Hank
there.
Pym, we could get Ultron out of this, Ultron and the Vision.
That's what I think they're going to lead to, is Ultron after in Avengers 3. Dormammu's going to be, just like Surtur is going to be Thor's problem, Dormammu's going to be Doctor Strange's problem.
Well, think about how many years ago we said, oh, they'll never do Thanos. They'll never do Avengers. They'll never do, the
what
Skrull.
What I'm saying is they're going to do them, but they're not going to make it part of the Avengers movie, considering that Dormammu is Doctor Strange's number one head villain.
But he's also like
a... Well, we also said that they never went to Galactus. They did Galactus, even though he was,
I'm not saying they won't do it. What I'm saying is, I don't think they're going to do it as, like, the headline villain, like y'all want him to be an Avengers.
Well, no, that's fair. That's
it's
fair.
The fact that, you know...
Like how the Chitauri were for Loki? Like... Because they weren't headliners at all.
Loki was just a machination of it, and those are just aliens. It's different.
Yeah, they were, you know...
Thanos,
they were the boogeyman.
My point is Thanos and but maybe Ultron are Avengers villains or Marvel Universe villains. Whereas there's not a lot of stories where Dormammu invades and most of the time it's only been Doctor Strange to handle it and the other magic people, but it's never been he's not been like a whole Avengers let's do a crossover centered around Dormammu coming from the dark dimension. It's never been like that. So to me, let's let the Sorcerer Supreme handle his shit. And let the tech people stay out of it. Because what are they going to do? Dormammu could easily take all those guys out. The only one who actually should be in this movie, part of that cinematic universe, is Thor, because it kind of makes sense. But no, I'd rather just see Doctor Strange take on Dormammu one-on-one, test his power.
Fair enough, you know.
Though with Dr. Druid.
No. Just, like, Dr. Strange, Baron, like, Night Nurse would be cool to see in this. Clea, obviously.
Brother Hungen!
You know, yeah.
Brother Hungen!
Who's gonna play Wong?
Dr. You know. Voodoo!
No.
Dr. Voodoo!
Jet Li is Wong! Jet Li is Wong! Oh,
no!
No, because Wong... No, because that would be all wrong, because Wong is, like, a lot an older gentleman, so I wouldn't imagine...
And so's Jet Li, he's, like,
yeah, but
90.
When you think Jet Li, I...
Okay, even better yet, Bruce Lee, because he's... I mean, not Bruce Lee, Jackie Chan, he's even older.
Yeah, but yeah. Here's the problem I have with that. They are both known for their fight movies, and
yeah.
the role of Wong that I like, he's not that. And
fine, but he's just recognizable old... Chinese guy.
You realize that they just so like then, okay, just like how
Ken
you're
Ken Watanabe
about...
then. He has the air of someone who doesn't really fight, but
he's not Chinese, he's Japanese.
Just like you were like fearful of, you know, that if they cast either Jackie Chan or Jet Li, cuz that's the two only Asian actors anybody knows.
Yeah.
Is that they're just going to have them fight, and to me that's not Wong. Wong is the faithful servant like Jarvis was.
I agree with you, but what I'm saying is you don't have to have them.
They're going
to
do it though. That's the problem. Mm. It's cuz they're actually there versus just being a voice actor. They're actually on the set. And of course the Sanctum Sanctorum is going to get invaded, or they're going to have to fight somewhere in the Himalayas where the Ancient One is.
Okay, so we can't come up with any other old Asian person.
It doesn't have to be a well-known dude. It just has to be somebody who can get the job done.
Maybe Jet Li will get Baron Mordo's part.
No, because he's too small, and Baron Mordo is not Asian.
Well, you know, in the modern Marvel Universe, it doesn't matter because, you know...
They
made a Norse god black. They can do whatever
when
the
I
hell
think
they
Baron
want.
Mordo,
there you go.
When I think Baron Mordo, I don't think Asian. Jet Li. He's too small. Whereas...
Isn't, Wong kind of short?
No, I'm talking about Baron Mordo, not Wong.
Oh, okay. All right.
When I think Baron Mordo, I think like the opposite of Doctor Strange in almost every way. Not in a gross like Venom Spider-Man kind of thing, but...
Like burly, right?
Yeah, he's bigger.
Okay.
Versus Doctor Strange, he's a surgeon who's a dick.
Yeah, he's like Marvel's answer to Vandal Savage.
I'm
just looking at him.
Maybe
this is why Doctor Strange would be never get off the ground. They can never decide who the fuck like they were going to cast or what direction they would take these characters.
Origin story starring Baron Mordo, the Ancient One. Ken Watanabe should play the Ancient One. Because I want him.
I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Because I want him in the movie.
I could see that working.
He already played one Immortal in Ra's al Ghul, so why not? Oh, yeah. Spoilers.
And or maybe they'll get the really old Kung Fu Master from Rush Hour 3 to come and appear as the Ancient One.
Oh, jeez.
The old blind master.
That'd be funny. What were you saying, Arnold? Master. I heard you say something.
No, I didn't say.
Okay. So, yeah.
So who plays Clea?
I don't know. There's Alison Brie, because that's the woman on topic.
I don't get her. She doesn't do anything for
she's
me.
She's very pretty. Although,
she's okay.
Okay, I know we're on top topic here, but... That costume really bothers me, because it's like she's. If it was a legit thing, I would have a huge problem with that costume. So because it would make no sense.
Open?
Well, the midriff, because like simply, if she was actually a soldier, that shit would be covered up like you wouldn't believe.
Do you see what Psylocke wears into battle?
Do you like I don't have a problem with that a little bit. I'm just saying for like a movie in which they're the
oh,
whole
no,
point...
no, you can have a problem with it. It just doesn't matter in the long run.
Of course. I'm just saying like, if they ever did a movie starring a woman as Captain America, like she would have, if they were going to be at all cover it up.
Have some faith.
Actually,
they did Black
him.
Widow pretty good.
Yeah, they did do it. But I agree with Iron Green. If this was what her costume looked like, I'd be actually offended, you know? That's like you see the chicks who ride into battle, you know, big sword maidens, and whereas the men are wearing like full plate, they've got the chainmail skirt and open legs and bare arms.
Like
what the fuck, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, cheesecake and male fantasy is one thing, but we've kind of moved past that, you know?
Why do you think I didn't mean to get off topic.
Freaking Namor doesn't have just the shorts anymore, you know? Same thing with Robin. They've kind of grown up a bit, so I wouldn't As much as I admit to liking it, don't get me wrong, I do like, ooh,
she's pretty,
bare midriff.
She's really pretty.
It's kind of insulting to me, you know, if that was actually her costume.
We didn't talk about Ant-Man, though.
Who?
Ant-Man, because nobody cares about Edgar Wright.
Because he sucks.
Hold on.
I'll say this.
Which Ant-Man?
I'm pretty sure it's going to be Erica Grady. I'm pretty sure about that. And that disappoints me like so much.
Well, what if it's Scott Lang?
It's not going to be Scott Lang. I guarantee. I won't be here for it. But look who's directing it. What does he like to do? What's the guy's name?
Edgar Wright.
He likes to make a certain kind of movie. And what out of all the Ant-Men that are out there, who fits that mold the best?
He does do snarky very well.
Erica Grady. I'm just saying, as a Hank Pym fan and a guy who kind of likes Scott Lang, even though he's kind of a dick, and an alcoholic, and was a horrible dad at one point. Anyways, there's only one choice is Erica Grady, and that saddens me. Who knows? Because I know if he's going to do Hank Pym, he better not make him a jokester, because Lord knows that wasn't Hank Pym, you know? And we don't even know if Wasp is anywhere near in sight. So... I don't know.
Well, they haven't mentioned her, so...
Yeah, I know, and that's also an injustice. How can you do Ant-Man without Wasp? You know?
They never said they wouldn't.
Yeah.
But they haven't mentioned it either. Yeah. At this point, too, you know, it's kind of... But then again, they haven't mentioned anybody about Doctor Strange either, so, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
we're a long way away.
They haven't mentioned much of anything yet, to be honest. So, I mean, you can't...
Right.
I mean, they barely mentioned who's playing main roles, much less who would play or whether or not their supporting characters would be in it.
All right.
It's good to know that they're on the horizon.
Yeah, definitely.
Just know this stuff exists.
You guys know I have a whole problem with all these Marvel heroes being tied to S.H.I.E.L.D. for whatever the fuck reason.
Well, if Doctor Strange is tied to S.H.I.E.L.D., then you'll have a legit
because there has to be some sort of bridging element, and apparently a superhero community just isn't enough, so they have to go with the covert government, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, see, exactly.
Sammy J puts asses in the seats, man. You gotta have an excuse to have him in there.
To the other side, apparently, I'm gonna take the reins on this one. Okay, Wes, because this is my last time, I'm gonna say it right now. You're a fucking idiot. I saw your post and you said, oh, look, the cast is Azel. Oh, look, the cast is person. You are so fucking lying. Because every fucking one of us were like, wait a minute, they're casting that? What the? I actually like that they're bringing back these old names, especially for the story that they're doing. You know, I love Ellen Page. I love Kitty Pryde. Nice to see her again. It'd be cool to see these characters again. And I don't think they're going to take the whole movie. I think they may be a little bit in the second act to show, okay, here's the world you're going to face. Boom. So, you know, and I think we're going to get more, but I think, you know, a lot of people are like hating that Bryan Singer made two good first X-Men movies, you know?
That's true. It was Brett Ratner that screwed up the franchise.
Yeah, so like...
I like the third one.
Well,
damn
you're
it.
Also an
well,
idiot.
Well, you're a minority.
You also like the first Hulk.
Hulk movie rule!
And you, like Punisher, and you like Punisher Warzone, so there you go.
Punisher Warzone was awesome.
No. Anyways, my point is...
Dude with a rocket launcher. Awesomeness.
Given the name of the story... Given everything that Days of Futures Past is about, it's cool that they're doing that they're getting these actors to come back, you know, and that they're willing to do it. So to say that you were excited that they casted Azazel and that, you know, they casted Angel from – like that's such bullshit because nobody was fucking like that. Everybody was fucking retching their guts. It's like this is what you're going to put on the fucking X-Men movie? I'm glad we're going
to
get some –
Hold on. I have to take umbrage with that. I wasn't affected like that because
I know a lot of people were though.
All right, fair enough. Because I gotta be honest, I kind of agree with West. You know it's just that by casting Paige and Ashmore,
the original names from the X-Men franchise to come back, yeah.
Right, exactly, and I don't really want that at this point.
But given
other mutants that they
given
can,
that
know.
We know, we already, all of us, I'm pretty sure, have read X-Men Days of Futures Past.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yep.
I'm pretty, and it's already listed as a first-class sequel. So, I'm pretty sure they're not going to be all about them. It's they're going to be nice big cameos. We're like, oh, remember that? Yes. The difference is, it's like it's not a surprise. It would have been much better had like we not known about this. And you go into it and they're there and you remember them. That's the only issue I have with it, is that it's the surprise element is not there anymore.
Yeah, but in this day and age, that wasn't going to happen.
Well, they could have worked that out some. Maybe they'll have one more hidden cameo.
That wasn't gonna happen at all.
Like, maybe they'll have, what's his, Frasier show up as Beast, but they won't announce it until you go to the movie.
But like you
that'd
guys
be
said,
sweet. He was the best Beast by far.
I hope it doesn't overshadow the rest of the people. You know, it's cool to see some of the cameos and stuff, but as long as it's kind of left the cameos or kind of works within the story and such in some fashion, which I'm hoping it will, just don't add all these characters because you're given the opportunity now to, since you're doing this Days of Future Past, to include the previous movies that you did. Don't try to make that all that it's about. Like, don't use this movie to try and fix whatever may have been wrong with your other movies. Not that they were as one.
He didn't
two.
Make any wrong movies.
I'm saying not as that. You know, whatever people would consider wrong or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
You know, even he said like they're gonna pick and choose from the old movies and clean up the house as it were, which also worries me. Like, I don't want to hear a movie kind of being said, oh, we're bringing in these characters and connecting to the other movies so we can clean up the X-Men universe. Like, this movie shouldn't be done to fix and repair what you thought wasn't good or that you didn't like. Like, still, what made the first class great is that it very much focused on this small core group of mutants, and as we've said before, to many of our surprise, was actually pretty damn good.
All I'm saying is that I personally don't think that these characters will make.
Yeah,
they'll just be big cameos.
I think it's awesome, and I'm excited for it. I'm intrigued to see if we're going to show them with like more enhanced powers. You know, how far along in their training have they been? You know, are they experienced X-Men at this point? Stuff like that. You know,
yeah,
which will be fun and cool to see.
I think that's
we do like continuity.
Huh?
We do like continuity. We are comic book fans after all. Because bringing them along will make sense.
You know? Because it's like, I mean, like the whole, I mean, you know, I'm just saying, I think it's a cool idea. And I think that, you know, it's cool that I'm actually going to see some X-Men that I remember fondly outside of Magneto, Professor X, on the big screen. It'd be cool.
You remember fondling some X-Men?
Yes. I'm a mutant hater, but I love them secretly at night. I have Pixie on speed dial. Do you have anything?
Can I get those digits, by the way?
I don't know. No, they're mine.
I'm too young for you.
Do we have any more to say about this topic?
I think we've covered all the bases on this one. All
right, Wes is going to ban me tomorrow, I guarantee it. Okay, so last but not least, Brian, I'm just going to steal your show.
Fine.
The most hated actor that I do not like, no matter what he's done, Mr. Paul Giamatti, is now rumored, right? Not confirmed?
I think it's still kind of, they're talking to him.
Okay.
There's
talks of him playing Ze Rhino. Remember several shows ago, I talked about how I was getting fearful of being Spider-Man because they're just throwing shit constantly at it. And, like, we got Mary Jane, we got Harry Osborn, we got Doc Ock, we got Electro, we got Blacktro. Osborn dying in the background, you know. And now you want to throw in potentially the Rhino? You're heading into Spider-Man 3 territory with all this stuff going on, you know? That's my only concern with all this news is that how are you going to fit this into a two-hour movie? Or maybe they expand it. Who knows? I doubt it. But that's what worries me about it. It's like, can we just have a simplified Peter Parker in high school says going into college, dating Gwen Stacy, fighting a supervillain while continuing the developing mystery of his missing / murdered parents. Why can't we just continue that? Why do we have to add? I understand Electro. I can live with that. But in Mary Jane, I would have kept Mary Jane and Harry Osborn out of this trilogy. But I just said no. We did that last time. We don't need to repeat shit. You got Gwen Stacy. You could have chosen numerous other characters to play the Norman Osborn character. And at least he wasn't in the movie. You know, so that's what bothers me, is that there's already – the movie hasn't even started shooting yet. and there's already a lot of stuff in there. So, yeah. I've said my piece.
As long as they don't have Harry go Goblin-esque again, I'm kind of cool with that. Simply introducing the character, I'm not opposed to. Mary Jane, I would rather... If I'd have had my druthers, I'd Emma Stone would be playing Mary Jane, you know. But that being said, I wouldn't have introduced the character again, not at this point. I'm not a big fan of the love triangle or the love rectangle, as I think this probably will end up becoming somehow. Rhino, like I said on the board, they had Blob, they had Thing, and they had Juggernaut. And all three of them were guys in suits. And two of them were fairly successful. One of them, by the way he carried the character, maybe not necessarily by the way he looked. All right. Paul Giamatti is shorter than Gary Coleman. So
he's also a terrible actor.
No, I can't say anything about Paul Giamatti. The stuff that I've seen him in, I've liked. So, I understand you don't like him. That's more, you know, more power to you. But I don't see him being Rhino. You know, he could do a Russian voice here, fine. You know, just toss in a Russian voice. But playing that guy and then doing Rhino, I'm not going to say no, it can't happen, or no, it's not going to happen, but I'm not feeling it. You know, I've got some serious doubts, although, like I said, Michael Chiklis pulled off a decent thing, even if he really didn't meet the height requirements. Paul Giamatti is basically the same, he's in the same boat. You know, fucking Rhino is huge compared to Spider-Man. Yeah, you know, I mean, when you went to go see Fantastic Four 1 and, you know, Thing was shorter than Doctor Doom, was like, what the fuck? But you kind of didn't really pay all that much attention because it's still Doctor Doom and Thing on screen, so you just kind of like soaked up the geekness. Here, they could come up with a suit and they could do something decent, you know, but I don't know how effective it would be, especially considering he's going to be fighting Spider-Man, so that tells me this is going to be kinetic, and yeah, I don't see Paul Giamatti being that active an actor, you know, I don't see it. So I'm on the fence. I'm leaning towards why the fuck are you doing this? But I'm not completely over there yet.
Y'all have anything else to say about this news?
I don't see it. I'm definitely going to need some more info on that if and when he actually gets picked, because I have nothing against Paul Giamatti. I happen to like him. I think he's a pretty decent actor. I've liked him a lot of things that I've seen him in. But just, Rhino? Really? Like, Rhino, I see Rhino reaching, like, the occasional Hulk size, you know, not as big, but he can get pretty close, you know, maybe slightly bigger and bulkier than Juggernaut. Just that kind of essence. Like, he's gotta look like a big looming figure. And again, costume notwithstanding is stuff, but yeah, I see Rhino when standing over Spider-Man, literally just cast Spider-Man in shadow. You know what I mean? Like that kind of deal.
Well, and then in that vein, if I may interrupt for just 1 second, who would you picture as Rhino, your ideal Rhino?
I've been trying to think about all day, and I haven't been able to pinpoint anybody yet.
Now, Butterbean! Butterbean!
No, not Butterbean. He's Kingpin. He's not Rhino. As sad as it is, in the vein of, you know, sounding redundant, I honestly think Vinnie Jones wouldn't be that bad of a Rhino. I mean, I know he was already Juggernaut, but...
Yeah, but, you know, Vinnie Jones was a Juggernaut by way of the suit, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, you could see that everything about him except for the face was completely... But Vinnie Jones, is kind of a tall guy.
That's not the point. The point is this guy's going to get into some kind of bio suit or something, rhino skin, and he's going to appear like 10 times bigger than he did before.
Paul Giamatti's going to look stupid in a suit. I'll say that much.
Fair enough.
He's
going to
look stupid. It's just looking at his face and how he is and his mannerisms as an actor, it's just not going to look right.
Maybe no, he's going to keep a beard because beards mean serious.
Now, the question is, are they which route of rhino are they going to go? Are we going to go open-faced rhino that we've seen in, like, the cartoons and such, or are we going to go full, like,
or that
rhino
new younger
like
one we saw
that they Spider-Man cartoon right now?
No, they'll probably go cyber suit rhino, like, in the Ultimate Verse.
Of
course, it's that the whole movie is based on the Ultimate Universe.
Yeah, so it's going to be cyber suit,
which makes more sense and less stupid than the 616 counterpart is.
Right,
and I say that as a Spider-Man fan.
I think they might be misleading us with this. I mean, he seems more like a vulture type than a fucking rhino type, doesn't he?
Actually, that's kind of funny.
Doesn't he seem like more of the vulture than he does?
No,
of,
you know who he looks like? He looks like Vermin. There you go.
Yeah.
He looks like Vermin.
Yeah. Good role. Ooh, that would have been
shit.
Yeah. So anymore?
Love them to put Vermin in that. People would never go on subways again. A big giant fucking rat as a villain on Spider-Man. They wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it because nobody would go see a big giant rat on screen.
I would easily.
We did it for Ninja Turtles every day. For a different breed then.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
I hope, if it was Vermin, I would have hoped Spider-Man to make a Splinter joke.
maybe he'll play Jackal
somewhere.
What was that?
Maybe he'll play Jackal.
No, why? Why? Last show here and you want to piss me off.
Let's play Jackal.
You know what? I'm glad Vibe's the guardian of the multiverse, you dick.
So we're back to this again.
Anyways.
Let Paul Giamatti be the spot.
This isn't even the time nor the universe. God damn.
What about Ultimate? What about Ultimate?
No. Vermin. It's just Vermin.
Just Vermin?
Just Vermin. All right, well, let's move on to our book of the week.
Yay!
The book of the week this week was Young Avengers number one, brought to you by two guys who I discovered when I went to my first comic convention, Kieran Gillen and Jamie McKelvey, who did a book called Phonogram, which is you check it out. Anyways, so basically, last time we saw these characters, which was the awful ending of Avengers Children's Crusade number 9, they had disbanded, and... So basically, it turns out Kate Bishop's having sex with Novar. Good for her, you know.
Yeah, can I just interject? When the fuck did that happen? Wasn't he dating that girl, and then she was like?
Who knows? Kate Bishop.
Between panels. There you go.
Yeah, between panels. Anyways, regardless, I love. I've said this 1,000 times. Whenever he's done art, there is nobody who draws more gorgeous women that are not like overly sexual than Jamie McKelvey. And apparently he knows these, like, these are actual based on women he actually knows. So, guy is an extremely lucky guy. And so, the Skrulls attack, and we get a sense of what life is for the Young Avengers. Is it Teddy Altman, I believe?
Yes, it is.
Who is...
The Changeling.
Changeling, not Changeling.
Well, no, but he's got the power to change into things.
Okay, well, Shapeshifter. I know what he does, I just can't remember his name.
Oakley.
And so he's posing as Spider-Man, and, you know, he's trying to live a superhero and leads to a big argument with, Billy?
Yes.
Right, Billy.
Good you.
And, so they get into a very heated, emotional, screaming match, which I thought, you know, that fits. And, of course, they make out, which I'm like, I actually fist pumped my fist when I was like, yes, they actually showed it.
You were pumping your fist while they were making out.
Yes. So this.
Did you have the club music going in the background?
You know, Billy, you know, sort of being the emo bitch that he kind of was, that and Teddy having to show him like, no, look at this. And so I lost my mom and yada yada yada. Quickly pones him. I love Miss America and I love that she's Latina and she has attitude. And she says, hey, chico. So I love Kid Loki, and he just sort of like – he reminds me of like a that dumb kid brother who's just getting into shit way too bigger than him, but he's going to do it anyways, no matter what you tell him.
He's Spritel.
And so it ends with it seeming Teddy's mother coming back.
Oh, it's Jim Jim.
But it turns out, spoilers if you don't know what happens, that it's not her, but it's some kind of weird thing that kills both of Billy's adoptive step-parent. Both of her
I think it's supposed to be her, but that version of her isn't just what...
Yeah.
She, you know...
She's not, it's not the true version that he knows, is what I'm saying.
She's something else.
I'll say this. as a guy who's followed McKelvey's art journey over the several years, this is his best work yet. I'm pointing mostly at the examples of the two double-page spreads of Kate Bishop running to the control room and the just sort of feeling of kinetic energy of just moving, giving that visual sense of movement, and then that double-page spread of that fight between – the little skirmish between Miss America and Loki, meanwhile crossing in between the Billy looking up for Ted's mom. And I just love his art, and I love that this book feels – it's about young people. These are all, for the most part, relatively new characters. You know, there's nothing, there's legacy about it, but it's not unhinged about it. You know, so I just love everything about this book. There was nothing that disappointed me in. I except for that, it felt like, oh, that was it. That's over. But yeah, I give it a 5 out of 5. I'm really, really glad this book is as good as I thought it could be. So somebody else go next. I don't care.
Woohoo! Young Avengers are back. I'm super, super excited. Side note, let me get the two characters that I know the least about out of the way. I don't know much of anything at all about Miss America. This current
she's
iteration.
New, isn't she?
Yeah, she's not. Completely new. I don't think she's shown up anywhere else. Yeah.
Okay. The way that her and Loki have been having conversations, it's almost like she's been around for a while. But
yeah, there's something else there.
Well, there was in that they in that point one issue. Apparently, that's where it all started.
Okay.
So, which I was like, that was not a choice.
And Loki, I know bits and pieces because I think I stopped reading Thor or Journey into Mystery, whatever it was called at the time, right around the time of his appearance. So I don't know a lot about him yet. I get a hint of Damian Wayne from him. Just very small, but just more mixed in with the mischief kind of character that Loki is known to be. But I'm so accustomed to seeing Loki as, well, not only as an adult, but as the villain or antagonist, so to speak. So it's interesting to see what side he's on, or is it just old Loki on his side alone and causing all kinds of shenanigans? Glad to see Billy and Teddy back, and intrigued that the two of them are living together. I mean, it's with their parents, but still. Interesting nonetheless, but I thought this book was off to a great start. That ending was pretty damn crazy. But I'm looking forward to it. The art was beautiful, like you said. If he gets his inspiration for the male characters in this that he gets from the women, bravo. Then he knows some pretty cool people. But I dug it. I'm on board. I don't know if it's just over fanboyism because I've been waiting for a Young Avengers book since the last one ended eons ago. But I'm glad it's back, and I will continue to pick up. 4.5 out of 5.
Me next.
Go for it.
I really liked it. You know, I kind of jumped on the Young Avengers bandwagon a little late. I had to catch up with the first one in trade, but I read the second one, Children's Crusade, through. And, of course, I really, really like the way they write, but Kieron Gillen did a great, great job picking up these characters. I mean, he took, you know, the ones we come to love, and he did them justice, and then he also balanced it out with introducing the new people. And the thing was, it wasn't your typical, you know, first issue setting up the team type deal. It wasn't that. It was pretty much just everyone fighting separate entities, and then that seemingly going to come together into its own plot line. But, yeah, there were a few things that kind of left me hanging. Nothing that I couldn't overlook. For example, the whole thing with Kate Bishop and Novar's romantic life. I had no idea where that came from. And for new readers, the Miss America thing might seem a bit jarring just because it seems like she's established. And so they might be like, oh, who's that lady? And if they go to look, they won't find anything. But and then the whole thing with Teddy's mom is another thing I'm looking forward to being revealed. But overall, it was a really, really great issue. Gillen did a great job writing. McKelvey did a great job illustrating. And I'm really, really looking forward to this book hopefully taking off and expanding. And I mean, I would love to see what happened with Eli after he left the team
back in the last series. That's what I thought of as well.
I want him to at least make a cameo or something. Like, give me some Eli.
Like, I don't know, maybe they'll end up giving him some powers somewhere out of there. Because remember, he was shooting up to get his powers.
Yeah, I know. That was some crazy shit.
Yeah. He was pulling speed.
Hopefully we'll see him.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, you go.
Oh, I was saying that brings up the other question. I was trying to remember where all the other Young Avengers happened. I mean, we know
Cassie bit it.
We know Cassandra died. Iron Lad jumped back into the time stream, correct?
Yeah, he's kind of in the ether.
He's on his road to becoming Kang again.
Right. And then Vision is back with the Avengers now, obviously. Yes. So like I said, yeah, that only leaves Patriot. I think that was it out of the group. Yeah.
Yeah, he's the only one they haven't touched
yet. They already mentioned he'll be popping up here and there. I mean, you can't have the book and not have him in it. They're brothers. So, you know, that's going to come up in some way, shape,
that's
or form.
That's true, so.
And they've already mentioned that he wasn't a fan of it, and either he got kicked out or he left or whatever the case may be. So I think that'll come up. But I do hope the Iron Lad thing comes into play, because it's very rare that you would do Young Avengers and not throw in some kind of version of a young Kang or a Kang kind of story.
This is like the easiest job ever. Look at all the shit Gillen has to work with in this book. Like, seriously. But yeah, it's a really great issue. I give it a solid 4.5 out of 5. I'll echo Arnold's statement. Real solid issue.
There's no crying in comic books. There should be no crying in my comic books. There should also not be 4 freaking pages of conversation. You know what? I don't care. I'm an old guy. I like books where people get their faces pushed in every other page. I'd stop reading Green Lantern back in the 90s because half the book was conversation. Here, I got heartwarming drama with, you know, a charming Skrull boyfriend who feels the need for civic duty, although, you know, technically he's not from here, although he's a halfling. I don't know whatever the fuck they got going on there. And, you know, Mr. Wizard, who's, how could you? You know, and then crying!
Mr. Wizard.
Crying! Oh, my God! You know, first of all, I applaud Kate for getting some nookie, you know, because Eli ran off like a bitch. He did. You know, pussy. I understand why he did it. I still wouldn't have ran off. I'd have manned up, handled it, and not have stuck around because, well, that's what heroes do. But, okay, he's gone. Fine, we move on. So she's getting some of that alien wang from Marvel Boy, who I don't know a whole lot about, but...
He has insect DNA.
Really?
Yeah.
He just got owned. Okay. He just got learned.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. Things you know. But, you know, she was getting some. She was getting some in space. Awesome. Actually, I thought that was a very interesting intro. You know, just, this isn't my... Oh, yeah, that's right. I was over here getting some sex.
Between giving it away for free and hooking up with aliens, she somehow made it into space.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for her and Hawkeye to hook up. But, you know, hey, that's another thing entirely. And then, you know, that mad dash to escape. I agree with Iron Green. That was actually a very nicely done sequence. Of course, they didn't follow it up. It was just her getting into the ship and jetting off and then nothing. Damn it. So then you got, you know, Teddy, the real man of the group, of that couple, as far as I'm concerned, you know, who still feels the need to, you know, he's got to follow his conscience. All right, fine. He comes home, and, you know, his girlfriend's there, and, you know, he's all like, how could you? He's like, for 4 pages. Like, oh, my God. And you know what? He sets him straight, and I had to applaud how he did it, because he reminded him, you have everything working in your favor. I have nothing but you. You have everything else plus me. Shut the fuck up. You know, I love that. That was awesome. You know, I applaud him for that. And then he went, you know you're right. And then they hug and they kiss. And I don't care about, you know, two guys kissing. It, whatever, you know. I just care about 4 pages of fucking emotive conversation. Come on.
Okay. Anyway. Okay, buddy.
So then you got your Kid Loki. I like Kid Loki. Hey, excuse me, son. Are you going to pay for that intention? Are you serious? I'm not going to pay. And then all of a sudden, oh, it's time for me to go because the sausage said so. And then Miss America showed up, and I didn't read that point one, so I don't know exactly what went on there, but, you know, she looked pissed, you know? And she also seems to be able to find him quick. You know, that just seemed kind of odd to me, but hey, fine, what the fuck ever. And, you know, then, you know, Mr. Wizard and, you know, Hulkling, they make up. And I call him Mr. Wizard because I honestly can't remember his name. they make up, and then Wizard decides to, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do some bat crazy shit like my mom does and try to bring my boyfriend's mother back, even though she's already dead. So what I'll do is I'll scan the multiverse and snatch her from some similar fate or something that looks kind of sort of like her. Let's see. Let's see. This isn't as easy as it. Yeah, that looks about right. Let me snatch her. Right then and there, you know, that just told me that this cannot end well. And, of course, you know, Hulkling just being glad that his mom is back doesn't stop and think, how the fuck is my mom back? But why should he? Because he lives in the Marvel Universe. People come back from the dead all the fucking time. And, of course, we get the reveal that, yeah, that wasn't a smart thing to do because, you know, his parents get turned into chocolate pudding. You know, from the thing with white eyes and hands that split. Ooh. Okay. Yeah. This wasn't a bad book. I'm not as well versed.
Are you sure? Because your comments kind of say otherwise.
No. I don't like having 4 pages of conversation, and 4 pages of emotionally charged conversation about relationships and all. I don't want that in my books, man. I want faces smashed, buildings destroyed, and maybe a nose broke. You know, something like that. This was, I grant that this was set up, okay? And this is following on the heels of what went on in Children's Crusade. All right, but did this have to be 4 pages of that? You know, really? But as grousing as I sound, it kept me intrigued throughout the entire book, you know? I can't give it the 4 point whatever like you guys will, but I will say it was a solid 3.7. You know, I'll be there for the next, and I'll give it the standard, you know, 3 to 6 issue run test. See how it handles itself. It does look good though. I don't want that much emotional conjecture.
Well,
you know,
you're gonna get it.
I can't. I don't like that.
He's not an emotional person.
I'm not. I'm a straight up front person. Fuck you or make me happy. There you go. You know. I don't need 4 pages of that. Like, my God. You know. And there's no crying in comic books.
Too bad.
You gonna scream there's no crying in baseball next, or are we just gonna skip that part?
I was just waiting for somebody to, you know, kind of comment on that. That's all.
Well, mission accomplished.
I didn't think you needed comments. Like, I totally got the reference.
Never actually seen a movie.
What?
Yeah, I can't.
Are we gonna talk about Rosie O'Donnell and Tom Hanks now?
Is that what we're doing?
Movie that needs
Rosie O'Donnell King.
So let's go next right into individual reviews. Uncanny Avengers number 3. It was good. I see a lot of people say that John Cassaday, this is where the issue hit the wall. Like, it looks less than the first two. I'm like, I don't think so. I still think it looks just as good, if not, you know, pretty good compared to the other two. You know, I like the fact that we got more introspective on these new villains. you know, these cool new villains, especially my favorite, John the Living Propaganda, which I just love saying that.
Yeah, that actually was, that's a great name.
you know, and just that sense, the battle and that one panel of the whole page of Red Skull drinking a martini or whatever it was, drinking during the fight. It was just really good. It you know, I think I love the fact that Havoc bitch slaps Captain America after going, you know, Captain America becoming an anti-mutite for a second because the can't remember who did it, but it was somebody. I thought the first appearance when Thor shows down, that single panel of him and I love that panel. Really, really cool. And also seeing Mjolnir get bloody and have the guy's face utterly broken was just, oh, that's awesome. I mean, it's good. I like it, you know. I don't care what the status quo of the book is. If it's this well written, you know, it was pretty cool. Although Wolverine should technically still be dead. Just saying. He should not be alive after what Thor did to him, especially considering his mutant healing factor was negated, which I love. I love how that works. I gave it a 4 out of 5. It was really good. I love maniacal Red Skull trying to destroy everything, make people hate mutants. All right, that's my review.
Cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. Who wants to go next? I'll go.
You
I
go
guess.
Next.
Yeah, hey, sure. Why not? Okay. I picked up Avengers number 3, Adjectiveless Avengers, by Jonathan Hickman and Jerome Opeña. And this here is kind of capping off the inaugural arc. What we get here is Ex-Nihilo. He was preparing to give rise to this new race of creature made of the oldest pieces of the universe, and in this vein, a guy named Adam, the new Adam, was born. And essentially, what happens is, while he is being, you know, for lack of a better word, born, Cap and his new cadre of Avengers, they lead a siege, and they pretty much kick the shit out of these guys. Like, taking down the Avengers in the first issue was pretty, pretty bad, but this is just full on, holy shit, get out the way, because Cap brings reinforcements. I mean, we get scenes of pretty much everybody. Everybody gets a line or, you know, a quip, or they get some just kick-ass moment. And one thing we get, which I thought was really, really good, was when, woman, I forget her name, the only woman who runs with these guys. She pretty much, yes, Chick loses control of, the Incredible Hulk, and she pretty much knows that, you know, she's like, I've lost him. And the way she loses him is Thor gets loose, gets his hammer, and smites the ever-loving shit out of these three guys, like you wouldn't believe. And while this whole battle of the gods essentially is going on, what we get is, we get new Adam, who is experiencing some sort of, I guess what you would call some kind of malfunction or something or other. And we also get another woman who, I don't know if you guys have read this issue, but she's kind of coded in stars and different graphs. I don't know if, I think she's a new character?
No, Captain Universe.
Captain Universe? Is that who she is?
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah, thank you. Captain Universe shows up and she realizes some big shit's going down. And so she just and what happens is when she finally shows up, Ex-Nihilo and Chick kind of bow down to her, and Aleph, the robot guy, he pretty much fires upon her. And that turns out to be a big effing mistake, because he just kind of just disintegrates his ass. And so he gets taken down, and Captain Universe steps in kind of to quell the issue, kind of resolve everything. And part of the agreement is that Ex-Nihilo and this chick, they get Mars to themselves to build a new world. Which is kind of setting up shit for later, obviously, but, you know, it's just, it's kind of, it's definitely a step in a much, much bigger direction, which Jonathan Hickman is prone to doing. He's prone to setting up much, much larger worlds than he gets to play with initially, and then he kind of brings it all together, as evidenced by his past works, but that being said, there were a few moments here where they, I don't know, some things just didn't click with me.
It was a stupid ending.
Okay, yeah, the ending was a bit lackluster from what I imagined. And also, while I do immensely enjoy Jonathan Hickman's writing, some of the dialogue thrown around here is just kind of like...
You stay here. Fuck with Mars.
Yeah,
just don't
yeah.
come here. Okay? Okay.
Yeah, you're pissed about the ending. We
it's
get
stupid.
It. And, yeah, I know it is, but... Obviously, it's leading towards something. I mean, he wouldn't just give a god Mars.
You can still fucking beat the shit out of him, jail him, and lead to something other than like, no, you stay on Mars. That's fine.
We
haven't dealt with
here.
Cosmic shit before. This isn't going to do anything. That just shows to me that the Avengers now are fucking idiots.
Well, he's kind of taken the word of the universe that he won't, you know, mess with Earth anymore, so there is that.
Oh, yeah, right, because a villain, and this guy's clearly a villain, is not going to go against his word. Fucking
He's not a villain. He's just misguided.
Yeah, actually, he's not a villain.
Whatever.
He's misguided.
He's that thinks they're right. There's
I don't trust him or that fucking android that sounds like a fucking
The android's dead, so you don't got to worry about no fucking
He'll
android
be back.
No more.
Anyways, it's stupid. It's like... It was, like, Mad I read that in Mad? Utter disbelief. Like, are you kidding me? Like, that's yeah. it. They're just going to stay
Mad,
there.
Bro?
They're going to... Okay. They're going to stay there. I
okay,
understand about
future being...
setup. I know what Hickman does. I just think this particular move is stupid. The Avengers wouldn't do that.
Well, considering that the fight itself was kind of being epically fought, but... There was no real one side or the other gaining ground. In the end, it was still looking towards more of a stalemate. And let's not forget, these guys dismantled the Avengers in their initial outing. So let's not give credence that maybe Cap wouldn't pursue a peace treaty of some kind.
It's still stupid.
Okay, fine. Maybe it's stupid. But, you know, it's just the way Hickman operates. And it'll definitely come back
no,
probably to
not.
Bite them in
the
ass later.
A much better writer than this. That's what makes it even that much more horrible is because like, you're better than this.
You know, I gotta be honest. I haven't enjoyed any. Once Hickman went off that Black Bolt tangent in FF, I haven't really enjoyed anything from him.
Jerome Payne did kick ass, though. I'll say that much.
And this book, this issue was really strange. I mean, some of like Fearless said, some of the dialogue was a bit, huh? And looking how the fight plays out. Can anybody who read this book tell me why Hulk changed back?
Because I would assume she had to keep some sort of degree of mental control over him, and when Thor smoked the shit out of her, I'm guessing that kind of jarred whatever
no,
control.
No, because he, I don't, I that happened at one point, and Hulk changed back. Well, I don't know, maybe that was it, but it just seemed kind of. Huh? You know, and I don't know. It just seemed like awfully sudden for whatever reason.
Fair
but
enough. So
I'll grant you that was probably it. It just looked weird. You
fair
know,
enough.
How some of the shit played out.
Right.
It
so
says,
the ending.
I've lost him. Next panel, Hyperion beating the shit out of him. Next panel, yeah. Bruce is normal.
Be yeah, honest, so. I wasn't even thinking about Hulk. See, that's the thing. I had actually completely forgotten because of the way action had. You know, carried itself in this book. I completely forgotten that she had done something to Hulk. So, you know, it just kind of threw me that he would. What? You know, but hey.
No, it's a good thing Hyperion stopped because I would have killed him.
But yeah, I kind of agree with Egg. The resolution to this was kind of eh.
Stupid.
What? Yeah, and kind of lazy. You know, in my opinion, I can't say I won't be reading the next one, but this was kind of a big dip, you know, for me. So I hope the next one makes up for it. I'm sorry, Phyllis. I know you were doing this, so please go on.
No, no, it's you and Iggy's fault, to be fair. So
I have to do it one last time.
Fair enough. But so we all, I guess the feeling is the ending could have been tied up a little neater, maybe handled a little better.
Yeah.
And I will look at there are some things that kind of threw me a little bit. Although what does intrigue me is the sequence we get near the end, where they allude to Tony Stark being called Death for some reason, and
yeah,
not sure what it means, but it's probably something bad.
He was an arms dealer, so
yeah. So you know, if this is foreboding, then I'm kind of fucking scared because Tony Stark is a dangerous motherfucker when he gets when he puts his mind to it, I should say.
General Pena was the only good thing about this book.
Yeah, whatever.
Look at it. Fucking amazing.
I give it a 3.5 out of 5 total, and that's my individual review. Thank you, Ben, for shitting all over it.
Well, it's a good thing, because next week when you'll do this, you won't have me interrupting, and you'll miss
it. No, I'll
it
have
eventually.
Arnold doing it instead, and honestly, I don't know if I can take that seriously.
I'm trying to stay.
I'm not even out of my term yet, and you're already belittling the next guy. You're a dick.
You're starting shit.
All right.
He's from Boston. What do you
expect?
That's
all right. I can call up Sister McGee, and then laptop goes bye-bye.
Dictator Arnold.
It's date night at the Jean Grey School for Higher Learning.
Yes, yes, it is. It is good old date night. So there's many to start things off. Many of the X-Men and X-Women are going about their day doing various things, and Rachel has pretty much told Wolverine, "You need to stay your ass here for a day, and we all need to go because we've been busting our asses while you've been running off."
Give me a beer.
Bullshit. So he comes back to the school. Everybody's on their way out. Kitty is on a date with Bobby. Warbird is going out with the rest of the crew. It's Warbird, Deathlok, Dupe. Dupe is looking very dapper in his bow tie and hat, ready to go. I love Dupe. I know we say it all the time, but he's such a
he's
great.
He's great.
He's awesome.
Even just a quick side in the last issue of Wolverine and X-Men at the circus, when they showed that back panel of Dupe beating dudes up, and he's got the two knuckle dusters on his hands, and both of them say Dupe on it, and he's just clocking people out. I love this character. I'd never heard of him before I started reading this, but every time I see him in it, I think he's fantastic. Okay, that aside, back to this. Bobby and Kitty's date's going kind of awkward. You know, they're trying to do the whole normal thing, which no matter how many times superheroes do it, it always ends up being the same thing. You know, they feel awkward or normal doesn't really work for them. So instead, they go and have a real great date and go around and do stuff. They go through Kitty's version of swimming, which is phasing through buildings and underground and stuff like that, which I thought was pretty cool. That's pretty sweet. You probably have to get to enjoy that power a lot after a while. At Sword, you know, Beast has got no time. I always forget this girl's name. Is it Brand? Victoria Brand?
No, no,
that's
Abigail Brand.
Yeah.
Sorry. I screw up their names all the time.
No one ever knows her anything besides Brand anyway, so.
She's trying to get a little date action from Beast, and he's bothered, but it's because he's searching through old files of Brood records trying to save Brew, who, as we know, has been unconscious since he got half of his brain matter shot out a couple of issues ago. But this is a fun book. What else am I missing here? Oh, they're alluding to a Quentin Quire Young Jean Grey.
Which I was like, whoa.
Kind of shit.
You know what I look
Seriously?
Forward to when Cyclops finds out about this shit. Not current Cyclops, but that age, that
the current age Cyclops, yeah.
Yeah.
Jean!
I didn't see coming, but at the same time, kind of makes sense that these two would eventually meet up. And,
I hope they get together, just for the sheer...
Just to see the reactions from other people.
Yes.
Like, just to see people flipping the fuck out. Yes. And to see one, if not both, Scots flipping the hell out, you know?
Oh, definitely.
I think it could just be entertaining. And I like the fact he's trying to cover up the fact that he's like, oh, I know what my purpose is. I'm totally going to have sex with Jean Grey. And you know, he thinks that she's going to be all weirded out, but she even says it's nice for somebody to even think of me that way, with her being able to hear everybody's thoughts and stuff. It's still unnerving for her, and she's not accustomed to it. But I dug this issue. We see a little interesting, because I know right where the book starts off, we see Storm having a conversation with Black Panther, so it seems like they've kind of pseudo-patched things up, not necessarily getting back together, but they are on speaking terms. He has expressed his distaste for Storm dating, or potentially dating Wolverine.
Not even dating, just being with him.
Oh yeah, just being with him in general, or being around. And we see that led up to as the one of the few times that you actually get what happens on the cover of a comic book actually happens on the inside.
Naked sex in the bathroom between Storm and Wolverine.
It doesn't happen often, so you kind of got to enjoy it when it does happen. I can't tell you how many comics I've seen where the entire cast of the book is laying dead on the cover and nothing dies by the end of the issue, but that aside. So we end up with, like, the cover page with the two of them embraced in a kiss right after Storm gets herself a little haircut a la Wolverine style. So we got 90.
They got it on in the showers.
Yep, totally. We have we got Mohawk Storm.
Because she feels like a free woman after her fucking dick of a husband
banging Wolverine.
Do you think she got a Mohawk up top and below, too?
What?
Oh!
I'm pretty sure she did.
You think he shaved her?
Oh, hell yeah. He totally did. Totally.
He gave her the bikini wings. Awesome.
At the very last, and at the very, very last part of the issue, throughout the course of the issue, we've seen that Edie has been visiting Brew in the hospital and kind of talking to him, suggesting things that they can go and do. She just wants him to wake up. And the very last time that she goes and she leaves the room, Brew finally does regain consciousness as she turns around. The very last page shows Brew what seems to be very feral and going to attack Edie. And that's where the issue ends.
I was like, oh my god, no!
No, maybe we don't want him back. This is not what we wanted at all. Another solid issue. This one is a pseudo done in one, but at the same time progresses the story.
I'm looking forward to seeing these relationships.
Yeah, you know, it was a nice way to show the characters building their relationships, but you're still going on with some parts of the story, most notably the Edie Brew aspect of the story, and even still showing that, again, the books are a decent, cohesive universe. You've got the young X-Men that have just shown up, and all new X-Men involved in this book, because they're staying at the school, obviously. Kitty has taken responsibility for them, so I liked it. I dug it. Fun times. The art was great. Jason Aaron. Good times on this book. I hope he sticks with it for a good long while. I thoroughly enjoyed the art for this one. It didn't have many misses. That I will give this a 4 out of 5.
Last but not least, Taser, Uncanny X-Force, number 1.
Yay! Uncanny X-Force! Whee! Uncanny X-Force, yay! It was okay. Yay! Long story short, Uncanny X-Force, at least its first issue, was basically two broken chicks. You know, Psylocke and Storm. With more of a focus on Psylocke, but I put Storm there because, yeah, she's got her own issues going on, too. The vast majority of this book was Betsy and flashback to this, flashback to that. Flashback to having her eyes taken out, a whole lot of different flashbacks, and, you know, Betsy wanting to do something, not wanting to work out her issues, wanting to handle her own issues, and Storm trying to play, you know, therapist. And I, you know, not for nothing, but Storm needs to shut the fuck up, because I'm sorry, how do you deal with your issues by cutting your hair? I don't get that, because that seemed to be what, you know, this was, you know, partly all about, you know, this shows a different motive for, and, you know, it's a rehash for me. You know, it's like Ryan Reynolds puts on a beard. Ooh, I'm different now. Oh, suck it.
He is different. He has a beard now.
Yeah, please. Anyway, so basically this was like girls' night out, and it's, you know, I get an opportunity to talk with a girlfriend of mine, and we could, you know, discuss some things. La, 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 la.
Can we just say you hated it?
No, I didn't. It had Puck.
It was you with the last-minute turnarounds on your opinions or shit.
Stupid character to get you liking.
Oh, no, there's stupid things about the book, but, you know, I haven't gotten to that I didn't hate the book because of that. I just this is the vast what the vast majority of the book was you know freaking Elizabeth dealing with or dealing or not dealing with you know her shit and her saying I don't need any help and I can handle it and I can blah 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 blah. Then she runs into Six Arm Chick, woohoo, Spiral, and she's now a DJ and she's making drugs and you know she's you know it's apparently worse than ecstasy and yeah everybody's having fun and you know token up and blah 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 and that this is pointed out because apparently Betsy's been you know at Frey's End over there at the school and you know freaking Wolverine holy frijoles Wolverine kicks her out well not kicks her out but tells her to take a sabbatical or whatever the hell that was.
Yeah,
you know, I'm just a friend giving you some advice. What the you know, Betsy, I got to put X-Force a million miles behind me. I'm a respectable headmaster now. I can't be giving missions. Oh, suck it, you know? Like, hold, I understand that.
That's where the character's now. That's where the character's now.
You know, I understand he's a respectable man now, but really, suck my dick. You know,
this is not your Wolverine anymore.
You're right, and I was the one that coined that term, and damn it, I hate it. But, so, you know, they go to this club to investigate some of the shit that's going on, and apparently Puck is doing some undercover work for Wolverine, you know, and I just look at this, and I'm kind of disgusted by it, but I like Puck, so that kind of smooths things over. And they discover this girl hidden in a vault, and meanwhile, Bitch is like, Spiral! And, you know, she jumps on him, and apparently the addicts that Spiral has created are like, leave our lady alone! She's like, uh-oh, this could end bad. And that's on top of the cursing that Betsy now does, which I like. Mm-mm. Yeah, Betsy curses. Mm-mm. Woo!
There's a lot of cursing in this book.
Yeah, it's awesome. She curses. I did like her fuck the Avengers. That just put a smile in my heart. But they were the vast majority of the book, and that part ends with Betsy getting caught and about to possibly get slashed, and that gets followed up by Bishop coming back from wherever the fuck he was.
Thought he was dead.
And he's kind of, oh, I'm back. Woo! I rule. I'm awesome. Yay, I'm back. Whatever. That doesn't tell me a whole lot. He's literally back in like one page. You know, that's it. That's all he's given. I'm like one of the few black male mutants, and this is what, you know, he gets. But okay.
Isn't the other one? Or who's the other one? Blackmail mutant. I can't.
No. What's his name from Generation M? Generation X, rather. Oh. The power mimicker.
I don't fucking know.
No, that wasn't. I forgot his name, but he was the bald kid. I think he died though. But I'm just saying. And if you want to count Sunspot, but I don't.
He
really
doesn't
think
count.
He I'm just saying he's dark skinned enough.
Whatever. He could just be Dominican then.
True enough. But the last two pages had to do with everybody's favorite,
fucking Max.
You know, yeah, Phantom X, yeah, the dude with his
three brains, his third brain.
Okay, his first and third brain. Okay, the female and the male, the one that's not the evil one, I guess. And they're doing something and. They shoot people, and they're running on rooftops. And I'm like, ooh, okay, yeah, they're running on rooftops. And then last page is their kiss. Woo!
Hated
so this would
page.
Be masturbation, right?
Hated that page.
Isn't this masturbation?
I hated that page so much.
What is this called? It's not, you know, it's, regular sex.
It's the brain. It's technically a different brain altogether, so it's nothing. It's nothing. It's on like a cloning.
So it's not masturbation?
Yeah, last I checked, wasn't Betsy hitting that?
Yeah, that's why I fucking hate the page.
Yeah, but since both brains
they were happy
in the same body,
fucking happy.
Then, you know, wouldn't you be happy with the brain that knew you, you know?
He was happy with Psylocke.
Yeah, but this brain was actually in the same body, so it knows what he likes.
I'm Colin.
Yeah, masturbation.
It's not, because it's a completely different brain and different entity altogether. It's not.
I'm going to say it's the same thing, because I don't know anything about Phantom X, so that's the way I'm thinking.
Well, you don't have to know anything about Phantom X. You just know it's a different brain altogether.
It's
so.
Masturbation, and that's the way I'm keeping
it. It's not the same DNA, though. It's completely different
How do
altogether.
You know?
Because science.
Because science?
It would pretty
because
much be
science.
Like making out with your clone,
It's
I
not,
guess.
Though, because it's
that's
not a clone. It's not clone.
No, that's not. No, no. Okay, Matt, no. It's one self, okay? This is two people, Taser.
Yeah, but it's from the same body. It could be his twin from the same body, therefore it's masturbation.
It's not, anyway. Though. One has an XX chromosome, the other has XY chromosome. That in itself defies logic.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. If an identical twins are basically the same person, regardless of the sex, they share the same DNA structure, they're identical, then that's basically the same person, just in two different places. So aside from the time-space vortex thing being warped, that's masturbation, not sex. It's not even incest.
And no, see, are we really having this conversation right now?
No, we're not, because I just like fucking with people. Anyway, the last page.
We should make this our discussion for the week. Just put it at the end.
No, fuck no. I'm over as last order. Fuck no.
Clone. Where is the line?
Hold on, let me finish because I didn't give the review. Phantom X A and Phantom X B make out, and it gets messed up. And I'll give this for first issue and all the setup. That was okay, you know. I didn't read the last run on X-Force, so
you don't understand.
I can't say it was great. Or can't say it was horrible, but it was interesting. It kept my attention.
You don't understand.
I'll give this what I gave. What was that other book?
You give it a 3 out of 5.
No, I give it a 3.8 out of 5. There you go. I'll be there next issue.
I hated that last page so much. Hated it.
It was awesome.
I know you did, Benny Boy.
They were happy. They were fucking
happy. I know. I'm pissed about it too, okay? Don't act like you're the only one here who got spurned, okay?
They were together. he came back to life. He admitted he loved her. And then this happens? Fuck this book.
Maybe the girl got in the way. You know, Phantom XB.
Whoever's idea, I don't care who it was, whoever's idea, let's... They're happy. Fuck you. I know this is how it works in comics. Fuck you. God damn it. I'm not touching this book with a 10-foot pole.
And you know, who was this? Ron Garney on art?
Yes.
He reminded me of Jim Lee.
With his pencils. I don't see it at all.
I kind of appreciated that. I thought it was good. He does Lee better than Lee. I'm saying it. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying it.
This is from a man who wants to commit verbal physical assault against Jim Lee, but whatever. So I guess that's it, huh?
I think so, yeah.
This is it. The end of an era, guys. God, I don't know what to say right now. Gotta change gears, full 180 or 360, whatever the fuck it is.
130?
Whatever. I just want to say thank y'all for doing this with me. No homo. that, you know, I hope that y'all will continue to do the show for as long as possible. Like I said, guys, I will not be having any involvement in the show whatsoever. So, you know, best of luck to these guys. I don't know. Again, if I ever come back, it's going to be a while, and I'm not talking 4 or 5 months. It's going to be a while if I ever do come back. So,
well, the door is always open for you, boss.
Yeah, I honestly appreciate that. You know, it's just...
When you get back, we're just going to retcon it like you never left.
Yes, pretty much.
Zero.
We're going to make our own Marvel space bug, and we'll say that you that quit was really possessed by
some force. Why can't you just No.
Posada did it.
You sell Fearless's computer to Mephisto, therefore all this doesn't happen, therefore I come back.
Mark 2.
We call it one more computer.
We'll come up with something.
Yeah. Well, anyways... I can't believe I'm going to say this, but signing off for the last time,
Happy trails to you.
This is I'm Iggy, the now ex-host of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel podcast. Tune in next week to hear these guys without me.
It'll be a mess, people. We won't be able to get our shit together.
It's going
to
be a trash. It's going to be a trash. It's going to be horrible. It's going to be messy. And it'll be awesome.
It'll be goofy.
Have a good week. Take care, everybody.